Our reading this morning is taken from John chapter 20, and we're starting at verse 19. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands, and put my finger where the nails were, and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord.
Good morning. My name is Shuja, for those of you that might not have been here before, and I'm one of the licensed lay ministers here at CSK. So before I begin, let us pray. Heavenly Father, I do thank you for the opportunity to speak here this morning. I pray, Lord God, that the words that I speak would be fearless, that they would make known the mystery of your word, of the gospels here this day. That the seed that will be planted will be watered and fed by your Holy Spirit. And I ask it in the name of Jesus. Amen. The Great Commission is what you heard this morning. What you don't hear in the reading is the little bit of scripture that happened, or the events that happened just before the reading today, because that's about Mary Magdalena. And there's been a lot in the press recently about the film that was released, and I don't know whether any of you have been fortunate enough to go and see that film. It is worth going and really does open your mind towards different concepts. But Mary Magdalena was the first person to see the risen Lord Jesus. She sat weeping outside of the tomb, and she was already grieving for the loss of her dear friend and rabbi, Jesus. But the pain intensified as she got closer to the grave and realized that the stone had been rolled away and there was no body there. She was distraught and didn't know what to do. And then suddenly, two angelic beings appeared before her and said, "Why are you crying?" And she was in the process of explaining when behind her another being appeared and said, "Woman, why are you weeping?" So she turned and he said, "Mary." And he said it in a way that immediately she recognized her good friend and teacher, Jesus. When you hear the account as described in Matthew's Gospel, what do you personally believe? What images have you formed in your mind as I've been speaking this morning and describing those events? What pictures have you conjured up in your mind? Did you imagine Jesus as being a human being, like the person that's sitting next to you? Or did you imagine that he would be some like bright, glorious light that's so bright that you just see this glowing aura? What you think about this is really important to the Christian faith. It's the foundation of our faith. Could it be that Jesus, who was born of human flesh and blood, just like we are, that having seen him beaten beyond all recognition, having wept before the foot of the cross, that Mary now saw him standing there just the same as you or I? So what pictures are you creating in your mind when you think about this? Do you believe that he was flesh and blood, that you could touch him? Or do you have this image that he was in some way, some translucent being? If you have doubts and you're not sure, it's absolutely fine, because we heard that you're not alone. Thomas was the same way. And many people around the world today still doubt. They don't believe that Jesus rose from the dead. Even though according to numerous scriptures and historical data and manuscripts that have been produced, there are hundreds of accounts of Jesus appearing to people after his death. There's a number of them listed here that you can see just how many there are. Jesus appeared, as I said, to Mary Magdalene, to other women as recorded in Matthew, to Peter as recorded in Luke, first to 10 of the disciples and then to 11 of the disciples. He appeared at his ascension in the book of Acts, to the disciples on the road of Emmaus, in Galilee, to 500 people at one time, according to 1 Corinthians 15 and 16, to James in the Apostles, and on it goes with all these accounts of saying that once Jesus was dead, but they had seen him alive. Thomas doubted when his friends told him that they had seen the risen Lord. You heard in the reading today, in verse 25, that the disciples said, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas replied, "First, I must see him. I must see the nail scars in his hands, and I must touch the wound in his side. I won't believe unless I do this." That's what he said. Now, Thomas knew that Jesus had been crucified. He knew that the body had been taken away and put for burial. He knew that. So he knew that this was nothing short of a miracle that they were saying, that they'd seen him alive. And wouldn't you? Wouldn't you be overwhelmed? These men were his closest friends. They were the disciples. They had been with Jesus for the 3 years of his ministry. They'd listened to Jesus' teachings. They'd witnessed the miraculous healings and the wonders that Jesus had performed. They'd learned Jesus' mannerisms. They'd asked him how to pray. If they were convinced that they had seen Jesus alive, then why would Thomas doubt? The disciples knew that this was the authentic Jesus. They were not fooled. They knew him. They'd lived with Jesus. But yet, Thomas said he wanted personally convincing. So where do you stand on this point? Some facts may seem incredible to believe. I get that. I really do. So I do have some empathy with Thomas. Last year, my husband Mark said to me that they could now make tools in a photocopier machine. Well, of course, I said to him, that's nonsense, no they can't. And he said, yes, they can. I said, they can't, don't be so stupid. I thought somebody has told him a gullible story, it's like fake news type thing. And I thought, you're talking rubbish. But he said, honestly, you can, I've seen it. And I said, no, it's rubbish, you're being fooled. Until he showed me a piece of film that was on YouTube that showed, in fact, that what he said was correct, that you can make tools and you can make images now in these 3D photocopier machines. I needed proof of what Mark was telling me for a technology that I just couldn't comprehend. Mary Magdalene told the disciples that she had seen the risen Lord Jesus, and they didn't believe her. They probably thought that she was full of emotion and early in the morning and was not quite all with it. That was until they saw the risen Lord Jesus and they told Thomas that they'd seen him. But he wanted tangible proof. I wonder how you feel about this. It is okay to ask questions, to have some uncertainty, to question whether things are right, the things that you're hearing. In fact, the scripture tells us in Thessalonians that we are to test all things and hold fast to what is good. And then again in the book of Acts, we are told that the people of Berea were more fair-minded than those in Thessalonica. In fact, they received the word with all readiness and searched the scriptures daily to find out whether those things were so. So when they'd heard the word, they went to do their own research and to find out the truth that they were being told. And people can explain things to you. They can have sermons, you can listen to teachings. But you do need to spend time looking for yourself, researching these things. The Bible is, the best way I can describe it, it's like a treasure chest full of wonders. And if you leave the lid on and you never open it, that treasure will never bring you any good because it will stay in the box. And that's how it is with this wonderful Bible. If you open it up, the treasures that are in there for you to receive are so amazing, you just won't believe it. It is truly incredible. The word of God is living and more powerful than any two-edged sword. That's the word of Hebrews 4:12. And you might say, well, what do we need swords for? Well, clearly swords are for fighting battles. Not only spiritual battles, but life's battles. Everything that we have is in God's word. They're not our words, they are God's words, and He wants us to use them. Even Jesus said, the words that I speak are not my own, but what the Father has commanded. Jesus was the fulfillment of Bible prophecies. The prophets listed in the Old Testament told of Jesus' arrival, of his death, and of his resurrection. Here are just three examples of the hundreds of scriptures that talk about Jesus. Isaiah 7:14 prophesied that Jesus would be born of a virgin and named Emmanuel. And we know that was the truth that came to be. David wrote in the Psalms that the Messiah would be tempted by Satan. And we know that was the truth because Jesus went for 40 days in the wilderness and was tempted before he began his ministry. Zechariah 11 prophesied that Jesus would be betrayed for 30 pieces of silver. And we know that this was the truth when Judas was given 30 pieces of silver for betraying Jesus. There are hundreds of these accounts that really show that God was speaking to his church all those years before. He was prophesying, he was telling people of what was to come, until it was the perfect time for the incarnation of Jesus to take place. On the first day of the week, as we heard in the reading, following the crucifixion, the disciples, except Thomas, were all together. The doors were closed and they were meeting in secret for fear of being discovered. Suddenly, Jesus appeared in the midst of them and he said, "Peace be with you." He showed them his hands and his scars. This resurrection is central to our Christian faith. Is it your faith? Many people think that they haven't got enough faith. But Jesus said, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, you might say to this sycamine or mulberry tree, be plucked up by the roots and planted in the sea, and it will obey. Jesus also said, all things are possible to him who believes. And then in Mark, it recounts of the father who had an ill child and said to Jesus, please heal my child. And Jesus said, if you can believe, all things are possible to him who believes. Immediately the father of the child cried, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief. That is the key. A small amount of faith can change major things. But it's the presence of doubt that hinders our faith. Believing in the risen Lord Jesus is foundational. And this is the significant difference that we have in our Christian faith. That God, by his Spirit, sent his Spirit into the Virgin Mary. And then Jesus lived and died and was resurrected to a new life to save mankind. All we have to do, the simple part, is just believe. Many people hold on to their unbelief, refusing to accept the grace and the goodness and the love of God. But remember those words at the end of the reading today when Thomas said he needed to touch Jesus to believe. That Jesus said to him, because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed. If you believe, then you can count yourself blessed. Blessed, because that's what Jesus described in his word. And you can confidently declare that Jesus is risen. And I encourage you today to take that step, to take Jesus as your Saviour if you haven't. Please open your heart in faith and place any doubt that you have at the foot of the cross for Jesus to take. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, for those here who have faith, I do thank you. I pray that any doubt will be overcome. Father, for those who have faith, I pray for the fullness and the mystery of your faith, that the promises that are in your word to be opened up unto them. And I ask it in the risen Lord Jesus' name, to your glory. Amen.